Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
I read a story this week that kind of caught me a little funny. It was about a man. He was very upset about something that was posted in the newspaper. It was an obituary posting that was in the newsletter. And the reason he was upset is because the obituary was his own. Can you imagine that? So he was really upset, and so he marched himself down to the newspaper office, and he went in, and he demanded to talk to somebody who had done that. He wanted to know, how did that get in there, and I demand that get changed, that somebody change that and post something that, that is kind of a, hey, this guy has not died. And so he got to the editor, and immediately he delivered his rage, and the editor stopped him and said, "Sir, you know what? I'm terribly sorry, but I never write retractions. But here's what I'll do for you. Tomorrow, I'll list you in the birth announcements and give you a brand new start." How many would like a brand new start? How many like a fresh start? As we kick off this year, I felt led to do a series called Fresh Start. And we're going to take a look at different people in the Bible that God had given a fresh start to in different ways. So we're going to look at different individuals who experienced a God who can give us a fresh start in our life. How many know sometimes we need a fresh start? Right? Sometimes we need a fresh start. I didn't use the word new start. New kind of gives the idea that by definition, it's something that is unused. Unused is new, where fresh is something different. It kind of gives the idea of giving something used new life. How many would like, you say, I'm used, I'd like to be given some new life. Like, I'd like a fresh start. My life's feeling a little stale and I need it to get a little more fresh, right? Nobody likes stale bread, right? As we enter this new year, I believe that God wants to give some of you a fresh start. Maybe as you examine in your life, you're struggling because you're not where you thought you'd be. You're not where you thought you'd be. Sometimes it involves choices that we have made, right? There are certain choices we've made as we look back on and we go, I'm not where I need to be, because there are some choices that I've made along the way that have led me to where I am now. Then there are others who say, you know what? It's not my own choices. There were maybe some choices of others or some circumstances I didn't count on, and I'm not where I thought I would be. But I want to let you know that whichever category you're in, we're going to take a look at people within the Bible in each of those categories that God gave a fresh start to. In fact, God specializes in giving fresh starts. Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is a powerful passage of scripture. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, I think you need to. Right? God desires to do a new thing in our lives, a fresh thing in our lives. There are former things, and in fact, the passage of scripture that this is talking about is looking at something that is not necessarily bad. How many of you know that there are things in our lives that are not necessarily bad, but that we can get focused on and say, man, if it was just like that again? And those are great things to remember, right? But they're not things to get stuck in. God wants to do something new. I'm not getting a lot of amens. Then there are other things that we wish we could forget, right? There's some bad things that have happened. There's some circumstances. There's some things. There's some choices. And sometimes guilt eats away at us, or other things eat away at us. And we get stuck, constantly focused on those things. And it holds us back from receiving the fresh thing that God wants to do in our lives right now. God wants to do a fresh thing in your life. God is the author of fresh starts. And he wants to do that both individually, and I believe God wants to give us a fresh start this year in our church. So as we kick this off, we're going to look and begin with the guy in the Bible that needed a second chance. And he had made some choices that led him to where he was, but he needed a second chance. Today, we're going to take a look at a guy by the name of Jonah. A guy by the name of Jonah. How many have heard Jonah before? Right? You probably remember that as far as a guy with a large fish, right? This is a big fish story today, right? But let me read Jonah 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many are glad for a God who gives second chances? Right? A God who gives second chances. Why did Jonah need a fresh start? Maybe you're familiar with this story. I'm going to ask you to, if you're familiar with the story, don't tune me out this morning. I believe that God can give us a fresh word on a story we might be familiar with. Some of you may not be familiar with this story. So let's go back to the beginning and find out why Jonah needed a fresh start in his life. Jonah chapter 1, let's begin right there in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. So we learned in chapter 3 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came to him again, a second time. The first time, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said this: go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. This is God speaking to Jonah. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. To flee from the Lord. Jonah ran away from God. Anybody ever run away from God, or at least tried? Jonah ran away from God. That's what his problems began. His problems began when he made a decision. God said, I want you to go in this direction. And Jonah said, no, I'm going in this direction, right? He went down to Joppa. He found a ship that was bound for Tarshish. And after paying the fare, it says he went aboard and he tried to flee from the Lord. Jonah ran from God. In fact, if you know geography by any chance, you'll see that Jonah actually went to great lengths to try to get as far away from God as possible and God's plan. In fact, how far could he have gone? Well, from where Jonah was, Nineveh was about 550 miles to the east, where Tarshish was about 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. That's how far he went. That's how far he decided to go. In fact, Tarshish is mentioned in several books in the Old Testament. So I'm reading through the chronological Bible this year for my Bible reading plan. And if you read through, you'll find that Tarshish is not mentioned just in the book of Jonah. It's mentioned in 1 Kings. It's mentioned in 2 Chronicles. It's mentioned in Isaiah. And there's other books as well. And Tarshish was recognized as this distant and very prosperous location. It was a place where the ships would come in and they would bring wares from all around the known world. And there was silver and gold, and there were animals, and you can read about it in Chronicles about Solomon and these ships, and they would go and they would trade, and it was a seafaring trade. It looked like a place that was easy and prosperous. And Jonah looked and he said, God, you're calling me to go where? To Nineveh. And if you know anything about Nineveh, right from the verse opening, it says that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before the Lord. They were a mean people. There was a lot of injustice that was going on. They were a violent people. And Jonah said, you want me to go where? I don't want to go there. I want to go where it's easy. I want to go where it looks easy. I want to go where it looks prosperous. I want to go in the opposite direction. For Jonah, this shows that he wanted to live as far as possible from his God-given assignment. Perhaps as we enter 2025, this is where it gets serious for a moment. There are some of you, as you evaluate your life, you recognize you are not where you're supposed to be with the Lord. You know you're not where your God-given assignment is. Instead, you have been running as far away from God as possible. He said, I want to go as far away from God as possible. And so Jonah found a ship that was bound for Tarshish, which leads to this principle today. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. He's got a ride for you. He does. If you want to run from God, there's always going to be a boat that's sailing in the opposite direction. That you can get on that boat. And once Jonah started to run from God, I'm going to show you something. His life went downhill from there. It went downhill from there. It's interesting, as you read through the book of Jonah, there are two directions that are mentioned throughout the book of Jonah. One is up, and the other is down. Let me show you what I mean. Jonah 1:2, we read it just a moment ago. The Lord said to him, "Arise, rise up, arise, and go to Nineveh." Jonah 3:2, when it came to him a second time, right? "Arise and go to Nineveh." But Jonah didn't go to Nineveh, did he? Jonah decided to run from God. Look what happens when Jonah ran from God. Verse 3. "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish in the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa." He went down to Joppa. Then look at verse 5, two verses later. "But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship." And then I'm going to have you flip over another chapter to Jonah chapter 2 and verse 3. And it didn't end to going down to the bottom of the ship or going down to Joppa. He ended up down into the heart of the sea. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and your waves and your billows passed over me." Jonah got down deep into the bottom of the sea. When Jonah decided to run from God, how many of you know his life went down, down, down? Right? Down, down, down. When you run from God and God's given assignment for your life is not going up, up, up. Your life is going down, down, down. Jonah found his life going down, down, down when God was calling him up. When we head in the wrong direction, that's when things start to go down. And maybe that's where it is for you. Maybe not right away. The devil's easy like that, isn't he? He kind of lulls you in. He gives you, you know, it's like those betting things you see online. I hope you're not participating in that. Those betting things online, you know, "Hey, I'm going to give you $250 in free bets." Right? "Ooh, up, up, up. I'm going to make lots of money." And then before you know it, they got you. And your finances are going, come on, help me out. Down, down, down. You go, "Oh, pastor, come on. You just ain't keeping good enough books. You think you're winning. You ain't winning." In fact, it's probably some of you, as you've headed into 2025, you know the Lord has been calling you to be obedient in the area of your finances, to be obedient in tithes and offerings, to be good in stewardship, but you just haven't been obedient in that way. And you take a look as you begin this new year and you're like, "Where are my finances at after Christmas?" They're down, down, down. That's where my check. That's where my checking account is at right now, right? Down, down. Where's my credit card debt? It's up, up, up. No, I'm messing. Although some of you are like, "Man, that hurts." Come on, pastor. You know, some of you, that's where you're at with your relationships. You know, you start heading in the wrong direction. All of a sudden, there's friction in your relationships. You kind of going in the wrong direction and. And all of a sudden, your marriage isn't where it should be. It's down, down, down. Because you're not doing the things you should be doing. You're not following the things that you should be following. Your health, maybe because of some of the things that you've been putting into it. It's down, down, down. Some of you have been running from God. Well, let me tell you something. When you start to run from God, how many of you know God chases after you? How many are grateful for God's grace? Right? He chases after you. Jonah was trying to run from God. Now, while not all storms in our life are a result of running from God, if you have been running from God, God's been known to send a storm your way to get your attention. Jonah 1:4-6, "And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us, so we will not perish.'" See, God sent a great wind. God sent a great wind in the sea. It threatened to break up the boat. The sailors on board who didn't know God, they have their own gods. They're panicking. They know what's coming. They know this is bad. They start crying out to their God. They start doing what they can. They're taking stuff on the ship. They're throwing it overboard. There's loss that's happening. And where's Jonah? Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat. Jonah's asleep in the bottom of the boat. They're throwing the cargo overboard. Now, notice something here. As Jonah's life is going down, 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 where is Jonah? Come on, somebody help me. He's what? He's asleep. He's sleeping. That's a scary place to be. You say, why is that a scary place to be? Because some of you are so comfortable disobeying God that you can't recognize when your life is going down, down, down. It's a scary place to get so comfortable in your disobedience, to get so comfortable with disobeying God and running from God, that you don't even notice when your life is going down, down, down. Right? That's a scary place to be. Jonah got comfortable in his compromise. He didn't even care. He had no idea. He didn't even care what was going on. Hey, don't you even see it? Don't you know what's going on? There's a storm. We're going to die. Don't you see what's going on? But nope, he got complacent. And when you get complacent spiritually, sometimes you don't recognize just how far away from God you are. You don't recognize it until God sends some kind of a storm or allows some kind of a consequence to happen to get your attention. But as we continue, we see the reason why, what was the reason why Jonah found himself running from God? Well, there's some reasons. The sailors decide to cast lots, right? Who brought this storm upon us, right? There's got to be a reason. Why is this storm coming upon us? What's happening? What is this? So they decided to figure out who was causing the problem. And of course, what happened? The lots fell to who? Jonah. Come on, you got to help me out. I need you to talk to me this morning. Right? We're all tired. We stayed up way too late on New Year's. They started asking him, who is he and where is he from, right? And so Jonah 1:9 says, he answered them, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now pay attention to this confession. What does Jonah say? He says, I'm a Hebrew. And what's he say he does? I worship the God of heaven, right? So I worship the God of heaven, I'm a Hebrew. That would be the equivalent today of us saying, well, I'm a Christian, and I worship God. Now, here's where the problem comes in. Jonah could admit that he worships God. The problem is Jonah doesn't obey God. And I would happen to say that that's a big problem in the church today, is we have a whole lot of people that have a name and can say, I'm a Christian and I believe in God, I just don't obey him. I'm a Christian, oh yeah, I worship God, I believe in God, I just don't obey him. I just don't obey him. That's a real disconnect. That's a real problem. And that's the problem that sometimes we enter into, is when we have we say, oh God, I believe in you. I worship you. And God says, well, then I want you to do this. And we go, oh, no. Well, God, your word says this. Well, that's just a suggestion, right? That's a suggestion. Do I really have to do that? The problem comes in as that Jonah knew who God was, but somewhere along the line he had forgotten that worshiping God is also to obey God. Right? It's also to obey God. It's also to honor the Lord. Perhaps you're not honoring God by honoring your marriage. Maybe you're not honoring God and honoring him and what he says with your finances. Maybe you're not honoring God in the things that you look at. You know what I mean. Do I got to go there? Right? You rationalize sin and you're running from God. But I've got good news for you today. We serve the God of the fresh start. We serve the God of the fresh start. right? And so as we enter into this new year, maybe you need a fresh start today. Maybe like Jonah, you can acknowledge there are some areas in your life you're not where you're supposed to. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe you've been, you know you're far from God's given assignment for your life, where God wants you, where He wants your life, where He wants your marriage, where He wants your finances, where He wants your purity, where He wants you at, right? So what do you got to do? God says, I want to give you a fresh start today. Well, let's take a look at Jonah and some decisions that Jonah made that led to a fresh start. Number one, admit that you're far away from God. It starts by admitting it. It starts by taking ownership of it, right? You gotta be honest about your life. You've got to be honest about where you are in your faith. You've got to be honest about the decisions that you've made that where you have not been obeying the Lord, where they've taken you far from the Lord. When confronted, Jonah took ownership of the fact that he had disobeyed God. This is Jonah 1:10. This terrified them. These are the other sailors on the ship. When Jonah said, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the God, you know, what have you done? They were terrified. They said, what have you done? And then in parentheses, they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. He had already told them so. Jonah had to stop and he had to take inventory and he had to admit and he had to confess, listen, I'm where I'm at because of the choices that I've made. I'm where I'm at because of the decisions that I've made. There are times in our lives where instead of taking ownership of our own decisions, we make excuses. It's not my fault. Somebody else did it. Well, I only did this because somebody else did that. And while there may be some truth that impacted you and influenced you, ultimately, change will not take place and a fresh start will not happen until we take ownership and begin to recognize there were some decisions that I made that have led me where I am. Oh, this is not an easy word, is it? But you got to admit it. You got to take ownership of it. And then what do you got to do? Well, number two, you got to stop holding on to the things that are leading you away from God. Now, I'm gonna take this in a little bit of a different direction. Because the sailors, when they realized that the storm was happening, right? They realized something. They were experiencing this storm not because of the choices that they had made, but because of the choices that what? Jonah had made, right? Jonah had made. And Jonah says to them, listen, it's because of me. Just throw me overboard. And they said, no, we can't do that, right? And so they start to row and they start to try in their own strength, right? No, we're going to get out of this storm. No, we don't have to do that. No, we don't have to do that. I want you to take the personal part of that out for a moment. But then we get to Jonah 1:11-13. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they ask him, what should we do to make the sea calm down? He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. So here they are trying to find a place of security and safety and trying to use their own strength to do it and rowing. And for some of you, God's been trying to get your attention, but you just keep on hanging on to things that God says you've got to let go of. You just keep on rowing. I'm just going to do it in my own strength. I'm just going to do it this time. I made this New Year's resolution, and this year I'm going to stick to it, and I'm just going to do it, and it's going to be because of my own strength, and I'm just going to keep on rowing. But there are some things in your life that you've got to get rid of. There are some things in your life that have to go overboard. I know, this is like, who would think of, like, in our culture, we're like, don't throw Jonah overboard. How can anybody do that, right? But this is just for comparison's sake. I'm not telling you to throw somebody overboard, okay? Please don't do that. All right, I don't need, you know, anybody coming after me. I just want that on tape, okay? I'm not telling anybody to go, but there are people, let me tell you something. There may be influences in your life. Your life is going down, 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 and you are running away from God. And here's why. Because there are some people in your life that you need to cut off. Pastor, is that the Christian thing to do? Yeah. Yeah. They either need to get their life right with God, or you need to cut them off. There are some voices that are in your boat that are causing you to sink. And you can't get to where God wants you to get to unless you lose those voices. Unless you cut those, you set some boundaries and say, nope. Nope, I'm sorry. Nope, you're not going to have influence in my life. It's not to say that you don't love those people and you don't care about those people. To be honest with you, for these sailors and for Jonah, the best thing that happened to Jonah was when they threw him overboard. Because when they threw him overboard, then God took over. For some of you, you got people in your life who keep leading you away from God. And it's time to say, I'm sorry, but I can't let you have that kind of influence in my life. I can't let you have that kind of intimacy in my life. That's hard. There are some things you got to let go of. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's something that you keep hanging on to and you got to let it go. For some of you, it might be unforgiveness. You got bitterness in your life. You've got unforgiveness in your life. And it's taking you down, 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 and it's created distance in your relationship with God. And you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive. You've got to begin to let that go. You got to turn that over to the Lord. You've got to let that go. For some of you, your fresh start won't begin until you let go of something or someone who consistently is leading you away from God and where He wants you to be. It's not until you surrender that you will truly be able to find that God is merciful and God is compassionate and God will give you a fresh start. It's learning how to trust God in all of this. The third area here is you've got to submit to God and trust His mercy. And this goes back to Jonah now. Jonah was the one who said, you got to throw me overboard. Right? Jonah he didn't want to lose his life, but Jonah's recognizing, listen, I'm the reason for the storm. You got to throw me overboard. I'm going to submit and I'm going to surrender to God and trust His mercy. Jonah 1:15-17, then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. Now the Lord provided, you might want to underline or circle that word, provided. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You're like, Pastor, that doesn't sound like it's any better for old Joe, right? Like he's in the middle of a storm, and he surrendered, and they threw him overboard, and now he's in the belly of a fish. That doesn't sound like it's really good. That doesn't sound like a good deal for old Joe here. That doesn't sound like a very good deal. But friends, I want you to know, friends, that sometimes what we look at as something that is bad is really what God provides for us for our rescue. Sometimes the very thing that we don't recognize is really God's provision of rescue in our lives. Being like a swallowed by a great fish, it doesn't seem like mercy, but it is mercy. Look how Jonah reframes it. If you flip the page to Jonah chapter 2, you get to the next chapter, verse 1. This is what Jonah declares. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Jonah is recognizing that it was God's provision, that the great fish was God's provision for him for rescue in his life. He recognized that God was merciful and compassionate. In fact, if you get to the end of the book, you begin to recognize that one of the reasons Jonah did not want to go to Tarshish is because he knew this very quality of God, that God was compassionate and merciful, that he was a God of mercy, and he didn't want the people in Nineveh to know that God was a God of mercy. If he went and preached judgment and they repented, he knew that God would be the one who would relent. Jonah understood that God was compassionate. So here's Jonah. I've run away from God. There's a great storm. God's coming after me. I can't get away. All right, God, I'm going to surrender to you, and I'm going to trust the God that I know, who is a God of compassion and a God of mercy. And Jonah had to spend 3 days in the belly of a great fish, but that was God's provision and God's mercy and God's rescue in his life. It didn't seem like a pleasant place to be, and it certainly isn't a pleasant place to be, but it was the very thing that helped get Jonah back on track to receive that word in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A fresh start sometimes comes when we say, all right, God, I admit, these are the decisions I've made. This is where I'm at. I'm taking ownership of it, and I'm confessing it before you. And you know what? There are some things that I've got to let go of, and there are some people that I've got to get out of my life, and I've got to let go of, and I'm going to surrender to you, and I'm going to trust you, that even if it means there's a little bit of uncomfortableness for a little while, that it's going to be the journey that I need in order for you to get me back on my feet again. Right? In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. Sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. The prayer that Jonah prays parallels the Psalms of David. Verses 7 and 9, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you and to your holy temple. Those who cling, look at this. You talk about letting go. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Let me read that again. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. What are you hanging on to that you think is better than God's love for you? But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good, and I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. In that place of God's provision, when Jonah had hit rock bottom, belly of the whale, his life had gone down, down, down. I don't know if it was a whale, it was a great fish. It doesn't say whale. Whatever it was, a big fish. When he's down in the belly of that great fish, and his life has gone down, 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 Jonah in there says, I remembered you, Lord. I remembered you, Lord. And I have vowed, I'll make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He can say, salvation comes from the Lord. God, salvation comes from you. What was the result? Well, it's not pretty. Here's verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Some of you just gagged. The fish throws Jonah up on the shore. Can I tell you that? For some of us, that's what salvation is like, right? God rescues us. He rescues us, but man, it's messy, right? He rescues us, but our life doesn't start out. This fresh start doesn't cut off nice and, ooh, it's all nice and everything is wonderful. Sometimes it's messy, right? Sometimes there's a mess to clean up, right? How many of you, when you got saved, there was still a mess to clean up? Yeah, right? Yeah. Sometimes the fresh start doesn't mean that it's clean, right? Sometimes it means it's the beginning of cleaning up a mess. Jonah went through some stuff. He went through some nasty stuff, right? But then Jonah 3:1 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. See, that's the fresh start, a second time. A second time, because Jonah was willing to say, Man, I admit I've been running from you and I made some choices that have taken my life in the wrong direction. God, I'm gonna stop for a moment. I recognize that. I admit that. There's some things I've got to let go of. There's some things I've got to get rid of. There's some things I've got to let go of. And you know what? I'm going to surrender to you and your plan, and I'm going to trust your provision for my life. I'm going to trust your provision for my life. God, you're the God who doesn't just call us, but you're the God who calls us back. Right? You're the God who calls us back. And maybe God is calling you back again. Worship team, will you come? God wants to give you a fresh start. He's the God of compassion. He's the God of mercy. Think about it. God didn't give up on Jonah. He didn't turn his back on Jonah. He also didn't give up on the sailors who were far, far, far from God. Even though they didn't know what to do or who to call out to, he didn't give up on them as well. And if you read into chapter 3, Jonah went on to Nineveh and he preached the gospel in Nineveh and the people repented, and he didn't give up on a wicked king and he didn't give up on a wicked people who deserved judgment. Instead, they repented and they too received a fresh start. Friends, God is the God of the fresh start. God is the God of second chances. He's the God of second chances. But here it is. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. We all have a choice to make. Let me close with one last story as the worship team is preparing. It was a lawyer. He was trying to deliver an important paper to someone, and that person thought it was a subpoena, and so they avoided the attorney like crazy. Every time the attorney would try to track them down, they would find a way to get away from the attorney. They thought for sure this was a subpoena, but the attorney was persistent. He wouldn't give up. He went on for 14 years until one day the man who was running ended up in the hospital dying of cancer. And as he was lying there, the lawyer wheeled up next to him with the paperwork, and the man said, "Fine, you know what? I don't even care anymore. I'm dying. I don't care anymore. Just give me the subpoena." And the lawyer said to him, "What subpoena? I have a document here to prove that you've inherited $45 million. I say that because some of you are running from God because you think that God is coming with judgment. God's not coming with judgment. He's coming with mercy. He's coming. He's coming with an offer of abundant life. You look at your life and you're like, there's no way. If I come to God, man, there's no way. All I see is he's just going to come down on me. I'm going to get his judgment. He doesn't love me. And you're like that guy running from a lawyer who's trying to offer you and say, listen, I've got this wonderful grace and mercy and abundant life for you. Why are you running away from me? Listen, God wants to give you a fresh start today. But every chance that God gives deserves, it needs a choice from you. Requires a choice from you. With every second chance, it requires a choice. So the question is, what choice are you going to make today? What choice are you going to make today? What choice are you going to make today? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Will you stop running from God? And will you allow him to give you a fresh start today? Maybe there's some people in your life. Maybe there's some things you've been hanging on to that are taking you away from God. And maybe today you say, you know what, Lord, today's the day. I got to start letting go. Maybe you got to surrender. Maybe you need to stop running. You need to start surrendering to the Lord. Let's bow our heads today. If you're here today, maybe you've never received Christ into your life before. Maybe you've been running from him. Or maybe at one time, maybe you grew up going to Sunday school. Or maybe you went to church. Maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus. But man, you take a look at where you were then and where you are now. And you know you've been running from God. There's some things that you've been running from. And you're not where you need to be with Jesus. And today you say, I need Jesus to give me a fresh start. If that's you, will you slip up your hand today? I need Jesus to give me a fresh start today. I need Jesus to give me a fresh start. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. If you raise your hand, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you today that you're the one who gives us a fresh start. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I admit that I've made some choices and decisions that have took me far, far away from you. I've sinned against you, God. And I ask you for your forgiveness, and I ask you for your grace. And I ask you today to come and rescue me. I let go of the things I've been hanging on to. I let go of those things I've been holding on to, and I surrender to your plan for my life. I surrender to your plan for my life. Give me a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.